Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 23rd, the year of our Lord, 2025. This is the third Sunday in Lent. And Lenten blessings to you. I pray your Lenten explorations are going well. I know it can be a time of fits and starts and challenges, and I think that's part of the process, part of the journey. So hang in there, and perhaps our time together on the podcast can give you a renewed focus and renewed energy as you pursue the disciplines and the repentance and the renewal, these exercises in being awake and alive to the presence of God in your life. And let's just get started. If you've been around the podcast for a while, you know how this goes. If you're new, welcome. And what we love to do here at the beginning of the podcast is to celebrate all that is good and to give thanks to God for it. And we start that celebration by taking in a big, deep breath. So let's do that together. Just breathe in and take in that breath and hold on to it and to let it go. And let's take in another one. And hold on to it. Don't just hold it, but savor it. It's a gift. This is the gift of life. This beautiful and mysterious gift as we breathe in and we let it go. The ebb and the flow, the in and the out, the capture and the release. This is life. This is a gift. And it comes from our Almighty God who loves us, blesses us. As you breathe, perhaps you close your eyes, call to mind the people and the places and the opportunities that light you up inside, that fill you with a little spark of joy. Imagine the faces and the places, the moments that you can only name as gifts from God because they're gifts from God. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky, open your arms out wide. Thank you, God, for every good and perfect gift. And in this posture, in this state of mind, this state of gratitude, let's begin together in worship. And so we'll begin with our call to worship. And you can find that printed in the digital bulletin that comes with the podcast. You find the line where today's podcast is. Go to the left margin, and just below there, you'll see what it says, sermon notes. Click in there, and the bulletin will come up for you. And let's begin. Oh God, you are our God. We seek you. Our souls thirst for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Your steadfast love is better than life. Our lips will praise you. We bless you as long as we live. We lift up our hands and call on your name. Our souls are satisfied as with a rich feast, and our mouths praise you with joyful lips. We remember you in the watches of the night, for you have been our help. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy. Our souls cling to you. Your right hand upholds us. Let us worship the Lord together with hearts full of praise and longing for his presence. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah in the 55th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me, listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Let's take a moment to pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for the gift of this, your good and living word. This ancient word spoken to a particular people in time and place, but it is an eternal and life-giving word. So we pray you join us here as we take some time to consider what it is that you have to say to us here and now with this good and living word. May it nourish us like rich food. And we pray that you'd come alongside us, that you'd focus our attention, that you'd incline our ear to this word, that you'd save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction, so that we could hear you and respond to you. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Here we are on the third Sunday in Lent. This season of reflection, examination, as we seek to seek God's face, seek to shore up our relationship with God, our faith life, our practices, however that is, whatever the language is you use to think about God and how you are in relationship with God, how you need to be more keenly aware of God in your life. We're blessed with a passage from the great prophet Isaiah that speaks to those kind of things. We We hear a message to a people who are living in exile. This is a community that has been in exile by the time their time of exile ends for a period of about 70 years. Isaiah 55 is written to the community as that time of exile is coming to an end. There'll be a time of return. But 70 years is a long time. Generations have changed. Many of the people who were pulled into exile are no longer living. For most of these people, life in exile is all they've known. Right? Very similar to the people that were captive in Egypt. They have come and they've assimilated. They've made their life in Babylon. Some of them may have established comfortable lives there in Babylon. They work and they pay and they live and they die and they live as exiles in the midst of the working and the paying and the living and the dying and the longing for something more but having to get up in the morning and grind out a living and carry on. When the opportunity to return to Israel arrives, there will be many people who choose to stay in exile, to stay in Babylon, while others will choose to return home. To return to a home that they may never have seen. But there's an ancestral connection to it. Not only a place on the map, a geography, but it's the stories. It's their history. It's their salvation history. It is how God has worked time and again. And God is in the midst. God has drawn near. Liberation is coming. A homecoming is possible. And Isaiah is trying to get their attention, trying to wake them up, rekindle the holy fire in their hearts. And so he begins with this speaking to the heart of those who long for something, and maybe they can't even name what that thing is. This dissatisfaction that gnaws like a hunger. He says these opening lines I love. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. That thing that you feel in your gut, the longing in your heart, that feels like you're thirsty for something, you need something, and it is a thirst that you don't seem to be able to quench. And a hunger for food, and it seems like what you're having right now in your life just does not satisfy. Come. Can hear them, like if there was a crowd around here, come, draw near, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you about wine and milk that you don't have to pay a dime for. And then maybe stepping back, Isaiah looks and says to them, think for a moment. I'd like you all to think for a moment. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? The bread, figurative bread here, but why do you spend money for the things that don't feed your soul? That don't do anything to impact that sense of dis-ease or dissatisfaction that you have? Why do you spend that hard-earned money, the precious days of your life, on these things that don't satisfy, don't fill you up inside? Listen, he says, listen carefully to me. Rather than that, eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear. Come to me, listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love. people in exile, people who have known nothing but exile. This is the way of the world. You get up and you grind it out. If there's a way to have some kind of advantage, have a little bit better life, get ahead a little bit financially, even if that means maybe bending the rules or breaking them. To get ahead by earthly measure. But as the head hits the pillow at night, sleep doesn't come easy. Guilt creeps in, a gnawing sense of something is off. Isaiah calls them in. He says, "Listen to me, remember who you are. Remember your story. Remember David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples." Calling them to remember their people's story that took place in Israel, a promised land provided by God. Per their scriptures, a land flowing with milk and honey, the epicenter of their religious life. That table is being set. A new moment is coming. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that don't know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Right now, do this. He says this, and I've been thinking about this. Oh, I've been thinking about all of these lines, but this one in particular strikes me. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found, which is now. Here, we can do a little experiment on this. I want you to take your index finger and your middle finger, right or left hand, doesn't make a difference. And I want you to put it on your neck. Put those two fingers on your neck, just below your ear and your jawline. Press in a little bit. You feel that pulsing in your neck? That's the now. That's a little drumbeat saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. You alive? Are you awake and alive? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And make a choice. As Isaiah speaks prophecy to the people of his time and place, he says, make a choice. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. This is a time. This is a golden, precious moment to let go of the things of exile. Let go of the things of captivity. Let go of the wicked ways and the unrighteous thoughts. That's all passing. That doesn't sustain your life. That won't satisfy that gnawing hunger in your gut, the longing in your heart. Let go and do what? Return to the Lord. Why? Because in letting go, in the opening of the hands, and the redirecting of the heart and the mind toward the things of God. God's provision, mercy, beauty, charity, compassion, loving kindness. In that return, God has mercy. Not only just like a little teaspoonful of mercy, but an abundant mercy and pardon. God says, I see you. Yes, you're a people in exile, and you've lived in the ways of exile and according to the rules of exile, and you've been governed by exile and the competitive nature of exile. And you've lived as a people that don't remember that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, created by the great God Almighty who has promised all of you the rich and eternal blessing of enough. Richly enough. Not just wine, but wine and grace and abundance. Not just milk, but rich milk. Sustaining good food, and people to enjoy it with. This is the love and the pardon and the goodness of our God. And you may say to yourself, well, that's nice, Pastor, but that's not how it shakes out down here. I get up and I grind it out and I do my 9 to 5 and I figure out ways to get ahead. And he draws us in. I just imagine this. And he says, I see you. As a matter of fact, I have walked among you. I know how it goes. But hear me. What you see in your lived experience, there's way more to it. As it says in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. In one way or another, we are like these people living in exile, born into exile, life in Babylon. And life in Babylon, it was a rich and educated community. It was great and awful all at the same time. But it wasn't their home. Home was to be in the presence of God, in the city of God. But we live here and now. And in many ways, our life, no matter where it is geographically, nationally, we call home, we're all exiles. And we're called. We're called and convicted, I am, I pray you are, to listen and to think about the question. Whatever your exile looks like, hear everyone who thirsts. What are you thirsty for? What's the thing that you just don't seem to be able to satisfy at your center? The questions, the anxieties, the deep appetites, the hunger. If you're hungry, what are you hungry for? Isaiah is promising a satisfaction, the richest of wine, the best and most nutritious of milk. And you don't need money. Money can't buy it. It doesn't have. There aren't enough coins printed, right? There's not enough money available to buy this bread and wine. It's not that kind of bread and wine. And the question, that might be the question for the week, the spiritual question of the week. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Maybe write that one out, put it on the fridge, and to be inspired by it. Isaiah doesn't pose this question. God doesn't pose this question through Isaiah to make you feel bad about yourself. It's a call to a more excellent way. Why do you give so much of your life, your time and attention to this that makes you anxious, makes you feel guilty, makes it hard to sleep at night? What if there's a more excellent way? What if the door to liberation is unlocked, is wide open, and you just need to come and call on me, and I will lead you through it? It's tremendous, tremendous good news. It's eternal truth. It's an ancient story. And it's alive today. And to it all we can say, amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you as a hungry people, as thirsty people, as people who spend money for that which is not bread, for the things that don't satisfy. Indeed, people who find ourselves in exile. But we have a longing in our hearts, a deep desire to return home, to live our lives forever in your presence. To eat the rich food and to drink the wine and to sing praise. To be free and satisfied in your presence. We call to you and we confess. Sometimes we choose captivity over liberation. Immediate gratification over eternal life. And we confess these things, our sins and our distractions, our unchecked appetites and impulses. We lay it all out before you, God, and all we can say is that we're sorry. It seems that sometimes we squander this gift that we've been given, but we know there's more. And you promised us that when we lay it all out there in front of you, and we ask for your help and your forgiveness, you will give us your help and your forgiveness. So in this moment, we claim your grace and your forgiveness. And we're filled with joy. And we claim another promise of our faith, that when we do come to you humbly, and when we ask in your name, you will provide. And we ask, O God, heal the nations. Soften the hearts of people in positions of power and influence. Reveal your truth to the world. And help us, O God, those who try our level best to go out into the world in your name. Help us to be salt and light, grace and peace embodied. Provide for us this living water. And you know the joys and the concerns of our hearts, the prayer lists, the celebrations that we anticipate, the travel plans, the weddings and the baptisms, the birthday parties, the promotions, the retirements, all these good things, God, that we might have on our calendar this week or in the coming year. We present those to you, and this stuff, oh God, that is, it's hard, our broken hearts and our grief. The people we worry about, and help us to convert our worry into prayer. All that is to say, as we share these deep longings, these prayers of our hearts, as we turn them over to you and entrust them to you, O God, we pray that you'll consider them. We pray that you would join us as we sit silently in your presence and listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet, the gift of your presence here with us. Pray that you'll hear us as we say together a prayer that has come to be known by your name, hear us as we say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let us do so with a rekindled fire in our hearts that God is with us, that God has liberated us from our exiles and calls us home. Our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.